You'd think I know how to use the mic. There's so much to move up here. Will you all stand with us as we read the scripture this morning? We are in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And it says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Amen, right? The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever.
Thank you, Justin. You guys may be seated. Good morning. We are starting a new series today called The Sounds of Christmas, where what we're going to do is each week we're going to take one of these classic Christmas songs that are so theologically rich and just digest where we see these in the scriptures. And today we're going to go through O Holy Night. And I'm a big fan of this song. It's probably my favorite song all time, not just Christmas song, but any song all time. And one of the things I love so much about it is it gets the theology in the right order. And make no mistake, when it comes to theology, it's very important that we get things in the right order. Just like in life, there are some things that it's very important to get the order right. You know, you get up in the morning, you get a shower, you get your clothes on, and you go to work. You get that order wrong, some funky things start happening. You know, you put your clothes on and then get in the shower, that's not ideal. But worse than that, if you drive to work before you put your clothes on, now you're looking for a new job. In theology, it's so important that we get this order and this structure right. That's one of the things I love so much about O Holy Night. Three things we got to understand. Number one, the light enters into the world, and these are numbered in order. The light enters into the world. The light enters into us, and then the light enters into others through us. See, if we miss that, then some funky theology starts to develop. I'll explain that more as we go. But first, here's what we'll do. We'll read the lyrics to the song, we'll pray, and then we'll dig into the scriptures where we find these things, all right? It says, "O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord, then ever, ever praise we. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night. Oh, holy night. Oh, night divine." Let's pray. Father, today I pray that you would use this song written over 150 years ago to soften our hearts toward you, that we would become people of worship, that we would turn ourselves towards the light here in this place today. We love you so very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, you see this same flow when you go to Ephesians. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus this in chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. He says, "As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and followed its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Or another way to say it is sin and error were pining. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, see that order. Sin and error were pining. We were dead in it, and the world was yearning for something else. All throughout the Old Testament, you see that religion just can't get it done. I mean, earning and legalism and all those things, you look at Psalm 80, and they just say, look, God, give us a different vine. Give us something more. This is the space that God enters into. Man, it was dark, hopeless, sin-filled, and we couldn't get out of it. There's nothing really holy about night when you think about it. Dark, cold, isolated, hopeless, can't even walk around. So what is holy about the night? What is holy about this night? The only thing that's holy about it is the one who enters into the night. See, it's a poetic demonstration of light entering into the dark for the very first time and it overcoming all that is dark. Praise God. Man, if there were no more light here, it would be a matter of days before life itself begins to end. Light is so critically important. That's why, as Justin read for us, John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You skip down to verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In short, see, when Jesus enters into a space, everything changes. When Jesus enters into a space, he redeems those things. I mean, think about the manger itself. A bucket of slop is now a symbol of beauty. The cross itself, a symbol of deep humiliation, is now a symbol of the greatest demonstration of love there ever has been. And he takes rebellious sinners like us and he makes us children of God. And in the midst of darkness, he shines light that the darkness cannot overcome. Praise God. It was truly the very first holy night. So then when he appeared, the soul felt its worth. I mean, how often is the world wandering around and stumbling in darkness trying to find its worth? It's a dating relationship, or it's a promotion of sorts, or it's reaching this goal, or somebody giving you recognition. We're just wandering around in darkness looking for our worth. And Jesus is saying here, or in the song, it's saying that Jesus is that light that makes us feel our worth. You know, this is probably really about the shepherds. The shepherds were outcasted, isolated. Their testimony wasn't even valid in court. They had no use for society. And yet the angel says this to them in Luke chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. It says good news to all people. And that's no small detail here because, again, the shepherds probably thought that they didn't merit for the King of Kings to come near their presence. And what the angel is saying, no, this good news, it's actually for you too. It's for everybody. I mean, isn't that good news? It ain't about your merits. It ain't about my merits. It's about the fact that he is love and he wants to be near to us. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about the fact that the maker of the universe wants to be near to you? Isn't that amazing? I mean, if it's true for the shepherds, it's true for us too here today. I don't know what your background is. Maybe you are a drug addict right now or a porn addict, or maybe you've wrecked your marriage, or you just feel, man, I just don't measure up. I'm just here to tell you, you don't have to measure up. Christ measured up on the cross. It's his finished work, and praise God for that. Man, so many times we walk around thinking, I'm not worthy. That's kind of the point. That he met us in this space while we were unworthy. You ever thought about how much you're worth? The maker of the universe decided you were worth his life. How could we ever walk around feeling worthless? Man, these shepherds, they are liberated. I mean, this good news is for me. And they run to this Jesus. That's when the thrill of hope comes. That's when a weary world can rejoice. When we start to understand that we don't have to perform. He loves us. He wants to be near to us. Did you know you are not only fully loved, you're also fully known. That's why I wear that hat around all the time. Because you are fully known. I used to go like in school and things and not let people really get to know me. Because I felt like if they got to know me, they wouldn't want to be near to me anymore. So you know what you do in school, right? You play it all cool, you know, you act a certain way and stuff like that, but you keep people at arm's distance. It's just not that way with God. God knows you totally and still says, I want to be near to you. I love you totally. I think everything starts to change for us when we start to understand that this news, this good news, is actually true. You know, one of my favorite stories is Luke chapter 24. It's post-resurrection. And Jesus is kind of like shielding himself from the disciples. And so he's on the road and people are all talking about this Jesus who has been crucified. And these people say, man, we had hoped that he was the one. Oh, we had hoped he was the one. And they're talking to Jesus and some stuff starts like burning in their hearts and things. And then Jesus goes ahead and leaves them. And then later their eyes are open and they go, oh my goodness, it's true. Everything we could have ever hoped for is true in the name of Jesus. And their souls are liberated. The soul finds its worth when it understands who the light really is. Now, he doesn't just come to save us. He doesn't just come to be light. He also comes that his light may be in us. As the song puts it, his law is love. His gospel is peace. As in, let love change us. Let peace come over us. We don't have to let sin rule over our lives anymore. We can let the light that has come to the world, let that light illuminate in us and in our lives. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. You know, if I did one of those silly demonstrations right now where I take like a ketchup packet and I squeeze the ketchup packet and then I ask, what's going to come out of the ketchup packet? You would say, ketchup is going to come out of the ketchup packet. When life squeezes us, God wants what comes out to be more and more this illuminating light of love in our lives. He's saying the darkness doesn't have to rule anymore. What can come out of you more and more is this light. When life squeezes you, love can come out. I'm a big fan of the movie Titanic, all right? I know that that makes me lose man points, but that's okay. I mean, Jack and Rose, they had a love that broke barriers, all right? It was a cool, cool thing. But that's not really why I love the movie so much. I love the movie so much because I'm so fascinated with the actual Titanic from 1912 when it sank. And I've done a lot of research on, like, what's true from the movie and what's, you know, not true from the movie. And as I was looking up, I was so astounded by the different responses when the ship started sinking. I mean, for some, you had, it's survival time. Knock people over on our way to survive. Limited lifeboats. Let's get where we need to get to. Pandemonium. Total panic. But then on this other side, you also had some people. You had people playing a violin all the way to the end to help people be calm in the midst of all the panic. And then you had moms who were telling stories to their kids to help them be calm about life beyond this one. Talk about bravery. He had men put on their best outfits so that they could die like gentlemen. And then you had many people just doing everything they could to get the women and children on these lifeboats. See, here's the point. When the ship is sinking, or life squeezes you. The good news here is God is saying that what can come out of you over time more and more is love when you're squeezed. It's not just that he came and gave us a free ticket to heaven. It's that now he's starting to change some things in us and that light is overtaking us. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. He says, love has been poured into you. Let love overtake you and be poured out of you. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, the greatest thing is love. And he says, you can do all these things and it doesn't really matter if there is no love. Or in Galatians 5, when he says, all that counts is faith being expressed through love. God brings light into the world, but God also brings light into us. And this song says, chains shall he break. All oppression shall cease. Man, every one of us have been oppressed by something. The weight of sin, certainly. Shame, insecurity, pride, things we've done in the past, guilt. Or maybe it's even actual oppression. And what God is saying here is that we can carry light to the world around us. And chains around us can actually break. There can be categorical change this light can make around us. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, as the light begins to change us, now God can use that to bring change all around us. History shows that categorical change can happen in the name of Jesus. That's what this song gets right too. And all right, I'm going to rant for a second. Rant box time, all right? For a long time, I was very cynical towards the church. And the world can say what they want to about Christians today. And some of it, frankly, is merited, all right? But it's the Christians who went back in the caves in ancient Rome and brought those kids out and raised them. It was the Christians that pushed to abolish slavery, frankly, through this song. And it's the Christians today that are trying to abolish abortion itself. And I'm just telling you, and we miss it all the time. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the Crusades was a big whiff. But what the culture is trying to do is they're trying to throw out the only source by which there is categorical change just because some sinners missed it. And all I'm saying is if there's going to be categorical change, we got to get this order right. It is God who brought the light because there is none in us. And that light has to change us before we would ever try to make categorical change. But God himself wants to do that. And praise God that he wants to do just that. Man, he wants to work through his people. So, God brings light. God brings light in us. And God brings light to the world through us. That's a lot of God working. So what are we to do? This is where I think this song gets it right again. It says, sweet hymns of joy, in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord, then ever, ever praise we. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night. Oh, holy night. Oh, night divine. Worship team, you guys can come forward. Our response to the light is to let all that is within us praise his holy name. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. The Magi do just that. It says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So these guys, legends of their time, bow down to a baby king. You know, the Bible is filled with all kinds of undignified responses like this. You have a high status, well-to-do, successful father run to his lost son. Totally undignified. You have chief tax collectors climbing up trees. You have the King of Kings bearing a cross, a criminal's cross. And then you have these legends of legends, the Magi, falling to their knees and worshiping a baby king. When's the last time you, in an undignified way, worshiped the king? You know, Dallas Willard once said, what you really think about the gospel is revealed by what you do when you realize you don't have to do anything. It's kind of confusing, isn't it? What you really think about the gospel is revealed by what you do when you realize you don't have to do anything. The point being, if our response is anything but worship, we didn't really get it. We didn't really understand the gospel. Here's the sad thing about this song. The guy who wrote it, kind of in and out of church, later would totally abandon the church. See, good theology alone doesn't get you there. Worship is stepping into the light. And we don't just need to know the right answers. We got to be a people of worship who determine we're going to step into the light. We're going to let everything that is within us praise his holy name. You know, this time of year is marked by so many different things. You know, the hustle and bustle, got to get those gifts in. And by the way, we do too much with gifts. I mean, your third cousin does not need a gift, all right? We need to limit those things. So many things Christmas is marked by. You know what I want this Christmas season to be marked by in my house? Worship. So during this time of worship, would you let everything that is within you praise his holy name? Because it really was a holy, holy night. Let's pray. Father, I mean, what kind of God sends his son to dwell among us, to be born in a barn? One who wants to empty the cupboard, make a way where there was no way. Because you love us so deeply and want to be with us forever. And so during this time of worship, I pray, would you help us to see more clearly this undignified love that you have for us? And help us to return that love with worship. You alone are worthy of that worship. So we give it back to you. We love you very, very much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.